So we turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, reading verses from 5 to 15. But when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father who is in secret. And thy Father who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, but they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So here we see, as we seen on Wednesday, that in verse 1, the word alms, which is actually righteous acts, and one of them was giving alms. And now in verse 5 to 15, we see it is a prayer, and 16 to 18, it is a fasting. So these three things were connected to verse 1, that is righteousness or righteous acts. And in this one, we see in first four verses, it is said what we should not pray and how we should not pray. And in the remainder of the verses, then what and how we should pray. And each one is, both the sections are important for us to understand as we regularly do this. Also, as on Wednesday, we have seen that in verse 4, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And here also in verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father who is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. So for the prayer also there is a reward. So those rewards, we also see some of those things being fulfilled according to the petitions and the way the Lord works being done here on the earth. And also how we live and prayed, those things also are recorded, and God will give reward openly when we go and stand before Him. So it is not only just our desires and our needs and our burdens we put before the Lord, but there is also a great encouraging thing which we see here, and there is a reward for that. So like many other things, the way we expect a reward when we stand before the Lord, prayer is one of the element, and we need to continue to do that without fail. So one of the great men of God whom I knew, he told that when he has this thought in his heart, that when he stands before the throne of God, this one thing he will feel, that he has not prayed enough. Or the Lord will question him, why did you not pray enough this much? So I felt, I also feel the same way. And many things we do in our life, but when it comes to question of spending enough time in the presence of the Lord, and I need to admit that it is always short. We need to, I should have spent a little more time. But when we are compromised, then we are also that openly receiving the reward, that privilege is also slowly diminishing. I'm not saying that totally we will be gone, but we could have done more. And that is why it is a, we need to draw much encouragement that the Lord is going to see that prayer and also reward openly when we stand before Him. And some of the prayers are also will be answered here while we are living. So I go to verse 5. And then when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So when you, like yesterday what we have seen, that it is a hypocrite is an actor. So in his heart it is something, but he expresses that he is something different. And in his heart, he wanted to be recognized that he prays very well, great prayer, and he prays always, and that is what he wanted to express. And they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. So there may be other modes of the prayer, or could have done other places, but they may be choosing these places so that people may see him and recognize him as the man of prayer. But that is totally discouraged by our Lord. But it doesn't mean that when we gather as a church, praying is prohibited. No. He encourages us as a gathering, as a church, as an assembly, when we come together, then share the burdens and express our burdens before the throne of God, and we ought to pray. But if we have a heart that our prayer should be recognized or seen by people, that is a hypocrisy, and that is not acceptable in the sight of God. So when we are praying, we need to understand that. And whether it is coming from the bottom of my heart with a great burden led by the Spirit, or I'm praying because the people should notice, recognize, and say, and praise me. And that is not, that is what the Lord is calling hypocrisy. And verily I say unto you, they have their reward. When people praise them here, or people notice what they are, and they have received their reward. So that is over. And when our prayer life, when it is done in secret, and when nobody notices that, then that has a reward which will be done, given by the Father when we stand before Him. In verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father who is in secret, that thy Father who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But on the contrary to the Pharisees, this is what the Lord is telling his disciples. But when you pray, you enter into the closet. So that is a secret inner chamber where people do not notice you, and you are not noticed by others. And also it gives you privacy from every other disturbance or distractions of your mind, eyes, and different things. And shut thy door, pray to the Father. Shut thy door is from your heart also, that not allowing to enter into the outside thoughts or desires and so many other things, so that is completely shut off, separated. And the inner man, where led by the Spirit, then you will be able to spend time profitably, a direct, nice, wonderful fellowship with Him to understand and also pour out your heart with all the burdens as led by the Spirit. Pray to thy Father who is in secret, and thy Father who is in secret shall reward thee openly. And the Father also who seeth you in secret, and the Father is also in secret, that means you don't see him. He is there, but you don't see him as other people or other things are openly seen. But he sees the prayer coming from the integrity of that heart, that where is totally dedicated and continually look for the fellowship with the Father, not looking for any kind of a praise and honor from men, but really burdened that the Heavenly Father should hear the prayer, and the Father will seize that prayer and he will reward in his time. Verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard by their much speaking. So when we are praying, that he also discourages us not to do this by saying a repetition of words. So it is not needed, he says. And when we are repeating, there may be a thought that also he said, they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So it is not that. I believe that many of you know that Brother Watchman Nee, and once he said about the prayer, the longest prayer recorded in the Bible is in 2 Kings, where Solomon built the temple during the dedication of the temple. And that longest prayer was also completed in 5 minutes. So he said, if when we are repeating so many times the same thing, that it takes time. But when it comes from our bottom of our heart, then you can pray for any number of hours, no problem. But if you are repeating the same thing, then he said that is a vain thing. And we have an example here in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 26. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called in the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And 27. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is God. For he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and must be awaked. 28. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner, which with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And that is how, from morning to evening, afternoon, that they were crying, O Baal, O Baal. So that is the repetition. And even the Buddhist prayer, it is the same thing. And even some of the religions where it is being practiced, the same thing again and again, they do it without having any meaning. And though they say prayer, but they don't really fully understand what they meant. And those practices, he said, you avoid those things. And the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let thine heart be hasty utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth, therefore let thy words be few. So we need to remember that. We are coming to the presence of Heavenly Father, who is honorable and great and holy. And when we come and stand before him and utter whatever we like, and that is not respecting God the way we need to honor him. Verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things we have need of before you ask him. So when we are saying the same thing with an explanation or repeatedly saying, so he says, you don't need to do that. Even you ask anything before, that your father knoweth. So that is a very beautiful, comforting thought for us, that we don't have to repeatedly say the same thing to the father. He said, therefore, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So your father, that means there is a now relationship is coming here. In the Old Testament, the Pharisees and the scribes and the Jewish people, what is the difference between them and us is this. And they know him as God, but not as father. But in the New Testament, when our Lord is introducing the prayer, and he is also bringing us into the new platform, which is called our relationship with him as father. And if he is father, and there is a wonderful, rightful relationship for his children to come and call him, and also father knoweth even before we ask him, because he is our father. He knows us even before the foundations of this world, and how and what is the need of his children, and accordingly he will continue to work and continue to meet our needs according to the need. And he is sovereign, almighty, all-powerful, and knoweth everything, and that is why he does things. But then in the Old Testament, that was not the relationship. So one of the charges which they laid on our Lord Jesus Christ was, he said, God is, they said, told him that he is claiming that God is his father. But after our Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection, then he told him that I am going to go to my father and your father. So through the sacrifice and the propitiation, our Lord Jesus Christ had made the relationship between our Heavenly Father and to us, those who believed. And as many as received him, he has given him the authority to call him as father, children. So our relationship has wonderfully changed because our Lord Jesus Christ coming down here, died for us, delivered us from the sin, and brought us into the new and a wonderful living relationship with him. And in the Old Testament, that was not so. So that confidence, that accessibility, that relationship was not the way it is established in the New Testament. That was not there. Now he said, your father knoweth. So in book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of our spirits and live? So it is, he is the Father of our spirits. That means even before we were taken the earthly shape upon here on the body form, and he knew us and how our life is going to be unfolded day by day, and what are the needs, and how he is going to meet all those needs. And he has the knowledge of everything because he is our father. And even before we were formed in our mother's womb, that he knew. According to the foreknowledge only, he has called us and saved us. And that knowledge, and the basis on that knowledge, he will continue to act as long as we live upon this earth to meet all our needs. Book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So he brings us out into the relationship, God who is in heaven, and all of us belong to his family. And that is the relationship. That is why as a father knoweth every need of his children, and accordingly our father knoweth what are our needs even before we ask. But then that brings us a question, then shall we ask or no? If he knows everything, then why are we praying?
Brother, I have heard or read once, I don't remember. So it says that the author is saying prayer means turning your whole being to the Lord, submitting everything of thine to the Lord. Then Lord is also interested. Both.
So I'm reading in the same chapter, verse 31 and 32. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we think, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Then when we come to, so that is on one side, and the other side here is in the same chapter, in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. So and that is what he also said, you pray that. So in verse 8 and in also verse 31, 32, that is saying that the Father knoweth, you don't need to seek. So the verse in 30, the difference here is this, in verse 8. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you need of before you ask him. And those people are repeating those earthly needs again and again. So here, there in verse 7 and 8, that is what he's saying. Of your necessities and needs, you don't have to be asking God again and again those things. In verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, that they are not only asking, but they are pursuing only those things. And those two things are not needed. That is what the Lord is saying. But you can ask what is the things which are required for your earthly life and the needs and the necessities of this life that he encourages us to ask him. So when we ask him, but if you are, when the seeking comes, then the trust is not there, or when you are repeating, when your faith is not exercised. And when you are saying, Lord, this is my need, Father, this is my need, and you hear my prayer and meet my need, and when we are leaving it to the Lord, then you are not repeating again and again the same thing. And the Lord knoweth your heart. And when you are repeating, or when you are making the same thing, you are expressing your that not confident that the Lord is going to meet your needs. So he said, don't do that. I am your Father. I am going to do that. And when I am expressing my need, I am also saying to my Father, and I live because of you. And because of you, because you knew me before, even before I came into this world. And I have that confidence in you that everything, whatever is needed for my life, you are going to provide day after day. But I am saying to you, this is what, when I am saying, I am not really saying what I am asking, what I need, but I am saying my confidence is in you. And I am expressing my heart is inclined towards you to receive the things what I am needed in my life. That is the expression the person who is trusting the Lord is making. But without the trust and the confidence in the Lord that he is going to do for us, when we are repeating or seeking after those things only, then those things are discouraged by the Lord. So people say when it is written, then you don't need to pray. No, that is also not right. Then the Lord said, in the prayer, he said, give us this day our daily bread. So that means expression of our dependency. And also expression of our trust, the Lord is going to meet our needs.
Brother, To your question, I was just thinking that why does he want us to come and pray to him? God the Father is our creator, and he created the man in the likeness of him and his son. Though the man then fell, and then we then are in the image of the son of the man, Adam, later on. But when we come in the relationship with him back through his son, that restoration that we have now, a God who is a zealous God, who made man in his own image, also desires to have the fellowship. That is why John said in 1 John, we have the fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do we understand that it is a zealous God who wants his creation to come and enjoy him in that closet communion, so that he can not only can bless them, but also can reveal to him more and more of him to them? Because if we take the verse 8 and then 32, he said, don't come and ask me for anything that I already know what your holy needs. And the verse 11 would be more, as he allows certain things in our life, he says, you depend upon me and ask me for the daily sustenance, which I will help you. But more, you come to me and enjoy me, so that I can also can bless you and enjoy your love towards me, and that a father's child, you know, having that intimate relationship. And we take it in that context.
But it's true, Jane. That is what is the proper understanding. When we come to the Lord, only asking all the time what you need, that means you never properly understood the greatness of God, the plan of God for your life. And also, and we are never come to the proper relationship, how to enjoy his presence and his power. That is why many times our prayers are so very base things of this earthly life. So that is, it is not to say not right, but that we need to come out of that. And the more you know the love of God and the power of God, you will slowly leave those things behind and come to enjoy the presence of the Lord and express your burden in a greater things what God is intended. And that you would pray. And those things are mentioned in the following, in the later verses. So these things, except the necessities of this earthly life and those complications which we are entangled because of so many other mistakes or the temptations or from the enemy, then asking only for the earthly things and seeking after them, the Lord is discouraging us.
Okay, brother.
So it is a blessed thing that what you said, when we continue to have that inward fellowship and understanding and enjoying him, why will any person will ask the things of this earthly life if a man is really enjoying the things of the heaven with the Father?
Because even when we look at from an earthly perspective, you know, when our child comes to us and sit, we enjoy the child.
Yeah.
The child also enjoys just sitting with the father. That is that intimacy, you know, sometimes words are not needed.
Yes.
We can sense it in the presence itself. And I think the Father in the heaven, whom we now call him Father through his son, has the same desire, but in the humanness, we always will come and ask him few things which he says, I know, you don't need to ask me, I'm your father. So, it is so important that we just and simply accept what he has given and just enjoy him and not ask for anything more.
So when our heart grows in trusting the Lord more and more in every aspect of our lives and sees his skillful hands is in a nice operation in our day-to-day life, then more and more you stop asking for the things of this, what your heart is desiring. And you will only ask what his heart is seeking after to be fulfilled through you. And that is the greatest order of changing from one dimension to the another dimension. So that is what we see in the book of Romans chapter 8. So that is what he expects also to grow into. But when either the disciples that time who were coming from the Jewish background, they did not have the heavenly concept yet fully open unto them, or they were only relying upon the earthly things through the entire Jewish history, and their hearts and eyes were limited to set upon the things of the earth. That is why the Lord has to repeat these things. And when we are growing in the Christian community here, and many people and their prayer burden and asking the Lord all the time is also, not all the time, many times is upon the things of the earth. But when we are growing into the understanding the plans of God, what He wanted through us and in us and also around us, then our prayer, the way we pray and the way we, what we ask also changes. I think that is what the Lord is expecting from all of us.
Brother, it could also, can we say that when we spend time in the presence of God, praying to Him, it changes us inwardly, because when we pray with God, we are actually not praying about Him, but we are praying to Him. And if with a sincere heart, if we ask Him, and the more time we spend with Him in His presence, the more we will ask Him to make us like His Son and what His purpose is for our lives. Because it's like asking Him that, more than my business being myself with God, what His purposes are, then, but asking Him that we may be aligned with Him and not that He aligns with us, His purposes in our life. So the more we spend, I feel, because when you really in the quietness of the time, when you are still and quiet and then wait upon the Lord, that's been my experience, that it just gives you that calmness, that comfort, that God is really like Father. You can talk to Him as a child speaks to the Father. That's what I feel. And sometimes I feel I'm His favorite, actually, though He loves the whole world. So I can speak to Him as I'm speaking to my Father. And then I can really understand whatever word I read and the changes He wants in me to bring about. So I feel personally that if I spend more time with God, that it changes me internally.
And more we have fellowship with Him, that is what happens. The more and more we see Him, then we will also be changed like Him. And that is one of the aspects when we are spending time with Him. But the more we know Him, then our asking patterns also will change. Then we will come to know, to praying in spirit and understanding what is His burden, accordingly praying. All those things develop. But when we are only stuck with what we wanted all the time, then our growth in understanding what He wants is diminished. So what his thought here was that when we are seeking only those things, then you will really do not understand what I wanted you to pray. So these are immediate needs, and what we are around, and all the people are in the running race of this competitive world, then our heart immediately longs for that. So he discourages us to do so, and he encourages to do something which is different, great, heavenly, and meaningful for this entire life. So in verses 9 to 15 that he shares those thoughts to his disciples. And we will see that next, because when we begin, then it will not be completed today.